And so the movies tell us it's a Christmas miracle. You know, there's a certain point in every Hallmark movie where it starts to snow and the boy and girl kiss and everything's all right with the world. And it's all blamed on Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle. We're just expecting the magic of the season it's talked about. I believe I love Christmas. I love celebrating Christmas, even though if you look at it historically, it could mean something totally different. But as a Christian, I use Christmas to celebrate when Christ came in the flesh to dwell among us. But I do believe in miracles because I believe in Jesus. But if we're not careful, we will just fall in love with what some call the magic of the season. And we'll just get nostalgic. And what we don't want today in this time together, and we're going to be leaving here in just a few minutes and go about our week again. Maybe there's presents to buy. There are parties to attend. There are things to be attended to as we enter into this Christmas season. What we don't want to do is just chalk it up to some kind of Christmas magic. It is called the season of hope. It is called a season of love. And I don't know about you, but anything that will help people love each other more during this day that we're living in, I'm all about that. So if Christmas helps us be kind to one another, then I'm all about let's celebrate Christmas. And it has been called the season of miracles. And those few movie and TV clips just showed you that many times something wonderful that happens is chalked up to a miracle. But the problem may be that the phrase gets tossed around so much that if we're not careful, we'll be so flippant with it that over time it will just become meaningless to us. And what we don't want, we're focusing today on the word miracle, but mainly because we're focusing on a miracle worker, a miracle God. The phrase Christmas miracle is used to describe nice things, but not always meaningful things. You know, it's not going to change your life if all of a sudden Santa's reindeer fly. Amen? You might, wait a minute, Pastor Randy, that really did change my life when I was a kid. You know, it's not going to change your life, some of the things we call miracles or Christmas magic. But today what we want to do is talk about real people, shout real. We want to talk about real situations, the real world, real needs. And we want to think about and we want to worship the real God. And yes, we do believe, we want to believe in miracles, but not just in the miracle itself. First of all, let me just tell you that the word miracle, if you were to look it up to define it, means it's an event considered as a work of God. In other words, there is nothing humanly possible that could take place that could change a situation or a person, but only by divine intervention. Now, while the movies have their fun with the quote miracle of the reindeer on the roof or Santa's sleigh flying or the lost love coming back just in time to be there on Christmas morning, and we chalk these miracles up to the holiday cheer and coincidence, we need to be sure that today we do not become numb, especially during this season, to the reality. Shout the word reality. We're going to have a reality check today for a few minutes. The reality that miracles do exist. On my wall in my kitchen at my house, I have a little plaque that says there will be miracles. And believe me, if you've ever pastored a church, you got to believe in miracles because you know you can't do it yourself. You can't meet the needs of the people, but I serve a miracle worker. I want you just to say with me, there will be. There will be miracles. We must recognize that we are in need not only of real miracles, but of this real miracle worker. If we do not know the one from whom the miracles come, how can we say we believe in miracles? I don't want to just be one of those people that says, well, I believe now and then a miracle just happens and somehow God just decides and throws out a miracle here or there. No, it becomes more personal than that. And we want it to become more personal than that when we know the miracle worker. God knows here today who needs a miracle. God knows who came in and would be sitting here in this service today, this Christmas celebration, who would be in need of miracles. And God also knew those of us who have questions today, those of us who may be sitting here today questioning, why didn't I get a miracle? Or why did that not happen the way that I thought it was supposed to happen? God knew we would wonder today on how can we distinguish when it's just sheer coincidence or when God's hand is involved and it's a real miracle. So God knows knowing that we're going to be here, God knowing the day we live in, God knowing what the problems and the situations would be in 2017, God started this whole process with a miracle. And today I want you to identify what that miracle was. It's something that sometimes gets overlooked in our society. God started the process with the miracle of the virgin birth. The Bible calls the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ His Son. And your miracle today, whatever it may be that you're believing for or that you're just saying, I wish, maybe you're not even in faith yet. Maybe you're just wishing God would give you a miracle in a situation in your heart or in your life. Your miracle is wrapped up in His miracle. And it began with a virgin conceiving and bearing the Son of God. Matthew was one of Jesus' disciples, and he wrote a gospel account of the life of Jesus, and he started it with the birth, and it's in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read there this morning. You can follow along with me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, engaged to Joseph, promised to Joseph, before they came together, that's important, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about what he was going to do, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived, notice these words, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Again, notice that Matthew was clear. The words that the angel spoke to Joseph and the words that the Lord spoke to Mary, you will become with child of the Holy Spirit. That which is in her, that which is conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. Now, amazingly, a prophet who prophesied a lot about the Messiah coming to the nation of Israel and Judah hundreds of years before, Isaiah prophesied this very event when he said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, what is the sign? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he said, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. So Isaiah prophesied, not knowing it was going to happen 740 years later. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, was the sign that God was giving to his people. The same sign that God gave to Judah and to Israel, his nation, is the sign he gives to us today. You don't know if you believe in miracles? Go back to the first miracle. See how God started this whole thing. We have the same sign today that God would bypass the bloodline of humanity and put his own blood into a virgin so that she could conceive his son. The real miracle of Christmas, are you ready? Is God became human. God Almighty became human. I was just reading yesterday, that Jesus prayed to his Father and said, Father, you have glorified me. I'm looking forward to the glory that we had before the world began. Jesus, knowing that he was getting ready to go die on a cross, and knowing that when he stepped into humanity, he had to leave the glory of the Father. The Father glorified him here on earth, but he had to leave the glory. He said in John 17 that we had together before the world was ever formed. So I know that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, that he literally became flesh. This is why Christmas, as we know it now, changes everything, because God became human. Now, there is an attack today on the deity of Jesus Christ. Many say that he was, of course, a great teacher. We have his teachings. We have the writings of his teachings from when he was here on earth. There's no denying he was a great teacher. He confounded the wisest of the wise with his simple message of love. We could say he's a great teacher. Some say, well, he's one of the great prophets that helped start one of the many world religions, and it grew to be a pretty big religion. But I say no, Jesus did not come to start a religion. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. Jesus came as a message from God, as a sign from God, as God himself coming and saying, here, I'm going to reach out and bring you to me. It's not about what you can do to get to me. It's what I can do to get to you. That's the Jesus. And Jesus asked his own disciples the question about his deity. He said, but who do you say that I am? When some were saying he was a prophet, and some was saying he was Elijah. Some were saying he was a great teacher. And he goes, but who do you say? And this morning, I want you to know that that same question has to be answered by everyone who's ever walked planet Earth. And it has to be answered by us today as well. Jesus is saying today, who do you individually say that I am? And your answer to that question determines your destiny, and indeed determines and charts your eternity. The term theologically is the term immaculate conception. Immaculate meaning pure. Some of you say, I like to keep my house immaculate. That means you don't want any dust, anything anywhere. Well, literally, this was an immaculate conception, completely pure, because the seed that was planted in Mary by the Holy Spirit, the seed that was planted in Mary was not a human, was not a seed from man, but from the Holy Spirit. You see, sin came into the earth through the first man, the Bible says, Adam. Sin came into the earth through man. Therefore, to redeem man from sin, a man had to come and redeem. A man had to reverse the process. But see, no man was worthy to do that, because ever since Adam, every one of us have had a sin bloodline. We have been born into sin. So God, from the beginning, planned, if when man, the minute man missed it and got off track, God said he was going to send his son. Way back in Genesis 3, chapter 3, he had a plan to send his son. And so he sent his son to purify the bloodline. God says, there's not a bloodline on earth that is without sin, but my blood is without sin. So what I'll have to do is I'll have to put God in the form of human flesh so that sin can be eradicated for all to come. No other religion can say and have this claim, God is the founder of this religion. No other religion even attempts to say that God came in the form of human flesh. Nothing is more miraculous than God becoming human. Nothing is more miraculous than the God-man walking the earth for us. You see, God did not send a messenger to give us a message, even though Jesus brought us the truth. He didn't send a messenger to tell us what we needed to do. He didn't send a judge to judge our sins. God came himself. He didn't send a message. He brought it himself. He didn't send a judge. He came and paid the penalty for our sins himself. I heard the story of a judge whose friend asked him after he got a speeding ticket if he would take care of the ticket. And you know what you mean. If you know anybody in the judicial system and you've ever tried that, you're kind of like, can you make it disappear? You know what I'm saying? And he was like, I've gotten a speeding ticket. And he was a friend, and you know, friends should never ask friends to do this type of thing. But he's like, would you take care of this ticket for me? The judge was his friend, and he said, give it to me. Yes, I'll take care of it. A few weeks later, the friend came and saw the judge again, saw his friend the judge again. And he says, hey, by the way, I wanted to thank you for dismissing those charges against me. And the judge said, I didn't dismiss anything. He said, well, what do you mean? The tickets, it's not on my, you know, I don't see it. I'm not getting any notices on it or anything. And the judge said, I paid your ticket. And the friend said, well, I didn't mean for you to pay it. I wanted you just kind of do your judge thing and just kind of get it taken care of for me. And the judge looked at his friend and said, well, let me ask you a question. Did you commit the crime? Were you speeding? He goes, well, yeah, I was speeding. You know, the officer was right. I was speeding. And the judge said, well, if there's a crime, there has to be a penalty. And I can't just dismiss it. So what I did was I stepped in and paid the penalty for your crime. And as odd as that may sound, that is exactly what God did for us when he sent his son in the flesh. He's like, I can't just wave a magic wand and make your sin disappear out of your life. So when there is sin, there is a penalty for sin. And the Bible says it is death. Death is the penalty that immediately came in the earth with sin. But God said, I can't just wish it away. I can't just speak a few words and everything's going to be okay. But what I can do, I can't erase it in the sense of dismissing it from your record. But what I can do is I can step into the earth myself. I can die on a cross. I can bleed for you. I can be beaten for you. I can take your shame. I can take the disgrace that was intended for you. I can take the disease that was meant to be yours. I can take it upon myself, and I can pay the penalty, not only for you, but for all sin, for all time, and for all who will ever live on planet earth. I can do that. And he did it. And he did it. Glory to his name. The Creator became the creation. The one who had created all things stepped into his own creation. You see, he's not a distant God that just sits and judges and every now and then steps in to check on us to see how things are going. No, he is a personal God. He is the God who left the glory that he had with the Father, Jesus Christ the Son. And when the Father said, you're going to need to go, son, you're the only one that can do this, he had submitted to the will of his Father, and he put on human flesh, and he became the creation that he had created. I can give my life, and I can trust my life to a God that will come and live with me, as me, and take my penalty for me. I can trust him. I can live for him. It is so important. It is so important that we recognize this miracle of God in the flesh, God becoming human. John the apostle, that loved Jesus and followed Jesus so much, he wrote a gospel account too. And in his gospel, he started it out by saying, the Word was made flesh, meaning the Word meaning Jesus. The Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelled among us. And then in his letters to the churches, he said, if you want to know how someone is a real prophet, it's the one that will acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I'm teaching you this morning that is it important that we understand God became human. Shout, in the flesh. And then in his second letter, John said the same thing in the reverse. He said, anyone that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a false prophet. Now, why is it so important that we recognize and believe in this first miracle of God becoming human and dwelling in the flesh? Well, the writer of Hebrews says this. He said, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Listen to this. For only as a human being could he die. You see, God couldn't die. You understand what I'm saying? At God is life, and there's no death in him. Only the humanity could die. God could not die, but as a human being, he could die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power up to then of death. So why do we believe in the virgin birth? Why do we believe in the immaculate conception? Why do we believe the scriptures that says God came with us, God put on flesh and came to dwell with us? Because if he didn't become human, then he didn't die for our sins. But I know he did die for our sins, and I know he became human. The miracle of his birth that we celebrate during this season was the catalyst for every miracle that would ever take place after that. God became human. Miraculously, God became human. Holy Spirit, it caused the seed of God and the bloodline of God to be planted in Mary so that the God-man could be formed and birthed into the earth. He died a human death, and he broke the power of the devil, who up until then had the power over death. He couldn't have died for my sins if he had not come in the in flesh and blood. And you may be thinking today, well, Pastor Vanny, this sounds really good. But I want to know, what does all this have to do with, you talked about we were going to get real today. I live in a real situation right now. I'm walking through a real life situation. I've got a real life problem. I need a real miracle. And I can hear some saying, don't tease me with this. Don't tell me there's miracle working power if there's really not. I'm telling you that if you can believe in the greatest miracle that's ever been performed on the earth, then anything that you need from God is available to you today. I believe that or I would not be standing here. You say, I've got real problems, real issues. That's why I'm presenting to you today the real Jesus, the real Son of God. You see, his miraculous virgin birth attracted people in his day, from lowly shepherds to wise men and kings. He spanned socioeconomic and occupational and educational divides. He spanned nationalities and ethnicities. He condemned the religious proud, while at the same time, he offered help and mercy to the scorned woman. He believed in the blue-collar fisherman, yet he took time to teach the Pharisee who would humble himself and come to him to learn the truth. He offered hope to the people in real, impossible, shout impossible, impossible situations. A demon-possessed boy, a sick woman who had exhausted all medical options and resources, a couple of sisters who had prematurely had to bury their brother, a father whose 12-year-old girl became sick and very suddenly died, a man tormented by multiple, even legions of demons, left to live among the tombs, a Samaritan woman who was surely despised and judged by the religious society of her day. These people had real issues. These people had no other options except to be left with grief and pain and suffering and shame and torment and bondage. There was no therapy strong enough to bring them back after their losses. There was no medicine to make the bleeding stop. There was no amount of pampering or luxury or riches of this life that could cause the judgmental eyes to stop judging them. It was either a miracle or total despair. They needed real miracles. They needed a real God, and they got him. God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, who went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil, who went about breaking the bondages that Satan had on people's lives, healing physical bodies, restoring families, restoring relationships, and pouring out his spirit. They had no other option. What is it today that you have been tolerating? What is it today that you've been living with or putting up with as, quote, normal in your life that really calls for a miracle today? If we really get down to it, you need a miracle. We need a miracle-working God. What pain or suffering or dysfunction is there among us today? Maybe in your life, maybe in the lives of your family, maybe it's in relationships, maybe it's in your physical body. Have you accepted it as normal? Have you just fallen into the trap of, well, I've got my own demons that I'm fighting? And I know that's become a common phrase in our day. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus died to fight those demons for you. It doesn't mean that we don't all have to work through situations. But I'm going to tell you, there are things you can't do on your own. Child of God, you can't do it by yourself. You need the miracle worker in your life. I'm just fighting my own demons. When Jesus came in the flesh, died, was buried, and resurrected in the flesh to give you a miracle. And it begins with a brand new life. A brand new life. I want to give you a reality check as I close today. Miracles are not given to dazzle us. I think in our culture, we think of a miracle, first of all, as a rare occurrence. We think of miracles that only happen now and then. And then we're completely dazzled and awed by, oh, like the movies. Oh, it's a Christmas miracle. But miracles are not given to dazzle us. Miracles are given to teach us something. Are you ready? Miracles are given to teach us to see reality from God's perspective. I want to ask you this. Do you think it's a miracle to God when he performs a miracle? From God's perspective, is it a miracle or is it God normal? Is it God normal? Is this just the way God lives and moves and wants to live and move in our lives? If we let them, miracles will train us to think differently about the impossible. as the angel told Mary in Luke 1, when Mary asked, how can this happen? I've never been with a man. How can I be pregnant? It's impossible in the natural. Shout in the natural. It's impossible to be pregnant. Nowadays, I know we have other ways of in vitro and all that kind of stuff. But in Mary's day, none of that medicine had happened yet. It was impossible to be pregnant without being with a man. And so she's asking God that. And the angel makes a statement that is still true today. It was true for her situation, and it's true for your situation today. The angel said in Luke 1, for with God. Say those words with me. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say it again. For with God. Now shout nothing.
Nothing.
Shout nothing.
Nothing.
How much is impossible with God? Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. For what we call miracles are the reality of heaven. What we call miracles here is the realm of God. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is the miracle of this world. His birth was a miracle. His life is a miracle. His ministry was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. And today your miracle is wrapped up in his miracle. He is, and we're going to sing about it in worship in just a few minutes as we close this service, but he is the God of miracles. Come in the flesh, God made human. And I tell you this, he is still performing miracles today. People say, well, when the apostles died, the miracles went away. I say no. I say miracles didn't go away. If there's even been one miracle that has happened since the last apostle died, then he's still performing miracles in this era as well. But I won't stop there. I'll ask you to take the next 4 or 5 minutes and just watch the testimony of Mark, one of the members of this congregation who has literally found the miracle working power of God real in his life this year. Would you just observe right now, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. When you hear words like, it was unusual, your PSA is dropping like a rock, the doctor said at one point. And when the doctor says, we're going to keep you comfortable, that's not a good diagnosis, y'all. We know that. But I believe that Mark really tapped into the miracle-working power of God. And I'm glad. I'm thankful that he's cancer-free today. I'm thankful that he's able to live, and I believe God's given him a long life now. Amen. I realize that some of you need prayer to get your life right with God today at this point in the service. And we're going to sing, we're going to worship with this song. And as we sing, we're going to be singing, I believe in the God of miracles. But as I've said, the greatest miracle, the most powerful miracle that can ever take place is the miracle of a life and a heart that is completely changed. Miracles begin with the miracle of your heart when it's been hardened by sin. It's been crushed by abuse and by rejection. God taking that hardened heart, that hurt heart, that torn heart, and washing it clean and making it pure and placing his spirit inside. That is the greatest miracle of all time after Jesus' first miracle. A miracle journey begins in our lives by us accepting Jesus, first of all, and saying, Lord, I believe. You are God, and you did come in the flesh, and you did die for me. And something happens. Nobody can dissect this. You can't scientifically define this. Something happens when you say that, and Jesus literally takes of his spirit and moves inside of you. There's nothing like it in the entire world. And all of a sudden, where God became flesh, now God dwells in us. We don't become deity, but he comes to live in us. What he did when he died is he removed all the sin barrier so that now he doesn't walk the earth in the flesh anymore. He only had to sacrifice his life one time and be resurrected one time. And after that, he says, now I've opened a way for God to live in you, for you to walk the earth in the flesh. While we're here, he lives in us so that then when we're out of the flesh, we'll be with him forever. I'm sorry, but that's the best deal I've heard in my entire lifetime. I'm going to ask if you will to bow your heads with me a minute before we worship with this last song. And I'm going to ask you if you feel that you want to pray or need to pray this prayer. I'm going to put some words together and help us pray a prayer. Several in the last service accepted the Lord as their Savior. And I'm believing for the same in this service. And maybe you say, well, I have prayed this at some point in my life, but I am far from God right now. Well, pray the prayer again. Pray the prayer with me as though you were praying it for the first time. God is faithful to cleanse you of all sin and all unrighteousness. And let me just tell you, he's in love with the backslider. God is in love with the one who has turned away from him. He's the Father that's standing and waiting and longing with open arms to receive you back. Not to count your sins against you, but with open arms to love you back to life. If you'd like to pray that prayer with all the heads bowed right now, I'd like you to raise your hand so I know who's praying this with me. I'm just going to be looking. Thank you. Anybody? Raise your hand. I thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else want to slip your hand up and say, Pastor Vanny, I'm going to pray this prayer with you right now. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying with right now. We're all going to pray it. Anyone else? Let's pray this together. Say this with me. And let's help those that raised their hands this morning. Pray this. Jesus, please forgive me of all sin. I do believe you're the Son of God. Say it from your heart right now. I believe that you became flesh and you died in the flesh for my sins. Now I accept your miracle for my life today. Change my heart. Make me new. Put your spirit in me and help me serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I am made new. Now, if you prayed that, celebrate together, Church of God, right now for those who just prayed. Amen. See, there's a miracle right there. There's a miracle you can grab hold of right there.